Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We live in angry times. I don't know if it's gotten worse this year than in past years. Maybe it's just that our nerves are all frayed because of coronavirus and being stuck inside and not being able to go about our lives like we have ever since we've been born. I don't know what it is, but every time I flip onto my social media or my news feed, it's like I'm accosted by some new outrage or another. And if this year has taught me anything, it's that anger, hatred, bitterness, it is as devastating and moves as quickly as a wildfire. With that in mind, I want to read again to you these verses from Romans chapter 12. And as I read them, I want you to imagine that you're hearing them for the first time and that these are Paul's words written directly to you in this moment, which in a way they are. Paul says to you, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, I hear those words again this morning, and I'm struck with this question: how do we do that? In the midst of this time, at least in our history, where we're so quick to shoot first and ask questions later, where we go from just okay to angry like that, how do we live as Paul encourages and exhorts us to do here? Well, before I answer that question specifically, I want to tell you about a guy named Daryl Davis. Quick show of hands, anybody recognize that name? See, Daryl Davis, he's made his life, or at least a part of his life, an example of what it would look like to live these verses out. Now, Daryl Davis, he's a blues musician. He hasn't really made a name for himself in that regard, though. He's made a name for himself because he's a black man who spent over 30 years befriending members of the Ku Klux Klan. And over the course of those 30 years and the friendships he's developed, over 200 members of the Klan have renounced that ideology and they've handed their robes over to him. Now, Daryl would tell you, he never set out to do that or to get into that habit. It happened accidentally. It was back in 1983, the first time it happened. He was playing a gig, and after he had finished in the bar, this gentleman who was in the audience approached him and wanted to talk to him about some of the blues music that he'd been playing. So they sat down at the bar and they had some drinks together. And near the end of their conversation, this man said to Daryl that it was the first time he'd ever had drinks with a black man. Daryl at first laughed because he thought he was joking, but when he saw the look on his face, he realized he was serious, and he asked him why that was. This man sheepishly reached into his back pocket. He took out his wallet and showed him his membership card in the Klan. It was probably an awkward moment there at first, but Daryl and this man continued to talk. At the end of their conversation, the man gave him his business card and asked Daryl to give him a call the next time he was in town because he wanted to hear him again. He wanted to have another conversation with him. Daryl was interviewed by NPR a few years back when they got word of his story. And when he was asked why he does what he does, Daryl said, "You know, I never set out to convert anyone in the Klan. I just set out to get an answer to the question that I have. How can you hate me if you don't even know me? I simply give them a chance to get to know me. I treat them the way that I want to be treated. And then I leave it up to themselves to decide whether that ideology is right for them or not." And what Daryl does, it's powerful and effective. But you can probably agree with me, it's not something we see very often in this world. It's not a response to anger and hatred and violence that we see so often. I mean, think back to the last time that you were offended by something that someone did or something that someone said to you or about you or to or about someone that you love. What were those initial moments like? You probably felt your anger begin to rise. You probably began plotting what you were going to say, how you were going to respond, what you were going to type, what you were going to do in that moment. Even the most mild-mannered people, and you see it probably, at least I see it more online than anywhere else, but it's incredible how even the most mild-mannered person can turn vicious when they're confronted with the cruelty of another person. If it can happen on the playground among first graders, it can happen with adults. The only real difference between the behavior of small child and adult is that as adults, we have a knack for justifying our behavior, our bad behavior in many cases. We justify what we say and what we do and by saying, "Well, look, I'm only reacting this way because of what they did to me or because of what they did or said to this person that I love." We also live in this weird moment as a culture where we're quick to call for boycotts and cancellations when we are confronted by someone or something that we don't like. But we never pause even for 30 seconds to consider that if every unguarded word we spoke, every unguarded word that we typed or thoughtless action that we made, if those things were recorded and shown to the world, we would be canceled too. It takes a bit of humility to realize that God has a much more comprehensive sense of justice than any of us ever could. And a lot of time, what we call justice is really just personal vengeance masquerading as justice. And it's with that in mind that Paul writes what he does here. It's for that reason he gives these two reasons why personal vengeance is ruled out for us as followers of Christ. So, Paul's first reason why we as followers of Christ should not seek personal vengeance for ourselves or for someone we love is because, as the scriptures testify, both old and new, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." It's God's, not ours, to deal. And as God testifies throughout both the Old and New Testament, on that final day when Christ comes again, God's justice will come, swift and terrible. But between then and now, we leave vengeance to God. It's not ours. But there's a second reason Paul says that we're not to seek personal vengeance. And it's a practical one. And it's something you know well. When we respond to anger and hatred and bitterness in kind, it just perpetuates the cycle. I'm sure you've seen it in your life before, where someone says something hurtful to another person, and then that person says something hurtful back, and then it goes on and on. It just gets worse. It's what Martin Luther King Jr. wrote in one of his most famous sermons on this passage, when he said, "Returning hate for hate only multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Now, sometimes people hear these words from Paul in Romans 12, and they think that what he's arguing for here is passivity. But they couldn't be further from the truth. Paul is not saying that as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I need to turn a blind eye to injustice that we see around us. He's not saying that we have to ignore the hurts that others do to us and those we love. What he's saying is that in those moments when you see injustice, in those moments when you're hurt or someone you love is hurt, we're to combat that evil in a different way than the way this world so often combats it. We're to fight evil as Jesus fought it. See, when Jesus came a little over 2,000 years ago, he came into a world where the Jews were waiting for a Messiah. They were expecting a Messiah to come. But they were expecting the Messiah to come in with guns blazing, who would go toe-to-toe with the Romans, their enemies. But what they got in Jesus was something very different. They got a Messiah who came and didn't shy away from evil. He fought it. He stood up to Satan boldly, but he fought evil with good, ultimately going to the cross. And as he was being crucified unjustly, Jesus didn't hurl insults. He wasn't sarcastic. He looked down at the people who had nailed him there, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In that moment, he was overcoming evil with good. In that moment, he was atoning for your sins and for the sins of the entire world. And after that, he invited his disciples, and he invites you today to continue that battle against evil in the same way. And so when it comes to that question, how do you live that way in a world that so often reacts in kind? Well, honestly, you can't do it if you're going to try to do it on your own. But the good news is that you've been equipped to fight in that way. This is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, and it's that well-known section of verses. He talks about the armor of God. He says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." And notice, this is the armor of God. It's not the armor of Pastor James or Vigor Mason. I won't throw you into the bus yet. It's not the armor of anyone sitting here. It's the armor of God that has been given to us. And he says, "So that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." And that's worth saying again. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our real battle is not against the people that we so often think it is, the people that we see in our lives, the people who are the ones actually hurting us. Paul says that we wrestle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. Friends, there is nothing passive about this life that we live as followers of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying here in Romans 12 is what Jesus says other places. He's looking for accomplices who will join him in breaking this perpetual cycle of violence and anger and hatred. And when you do that, when you begin to return good for the evil done to you, and you see that cycle begin to break, you'll see unbelievable things. Things like Daryl sees. Members of the clan renounce their bigotry and turn from it. You'll see sinners who you never thought would turn from their sin repent and receive forgiveness. You'll see God change your own attitudes and your own actions as he continually calls you out of darkness and into his light. So this week, when you encounter people or circumstances make your anger rise, your blood begin to boil? Before you say anything, before you type anything, before you do anything, remember these words of Paul. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And never forget, this is exactly what God in Christ has done for you. In His name, amen.